All right, get your book. I'm going to let you stay seated. Page 410. Page 410. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flowed from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, our trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. You know, this is where you find the right atmosphere. At the cross, you get changed from one world to another, from one life to another, from one person to another. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God good? Boy.
Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring the sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, helping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
You know, I couldn't help but think as we sang that song, it's actually called a lullaby. And the last part of that song says, we'll find rest beyond the river. It might not seem like it, folks. It might not look like it. But God's in it. We'll make it. We'll make it just fine. Now, I need some help. I think it's 3:35. I don't know. He leadeth me. Yeah. Because once we find that atmosphere, we still can't make it on our own. We need him. Just the first and the last. I'm about wore out.
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still is God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in Disco Wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
All right. Come on, Dan. Damn. Oh, you want to do it right now?
From Emmanuel's veins, the sinner was plunged beneath the flood, and God saved. Since then, I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. To God say, oh, God say, I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? Goodness, I've tasted and tasted your grace. Oh, I was so lost till I fell at the cross, and God saved. Oh, God saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. Jesus, how could I want more? The love of God gave me his.
We're going to take up the offering before we do this, so if I could have a couple. What are you doing? Yeah, we don't need that on Facebook.
You're getting it, because I got children in the nursery.
Okay. A woman's work is never done. Okay. If I could have a couple of men, we'll take up the offering, then we'll sing this song before Nick comes to preach. Good service this morning. Good message. Appreciate God working in the hearts of everyone. We're going to thank the Lord for this part of the service where we are able to give back to God because He gives to us. John, would you bless this offering, sir? Amen. This is another one of those songs where I did it some years ago, just fell in love with it because it spoke to me first. If it doesn't speak to you, you can't speak to others through it, you know, and it did because it's exactly how I feel. And I remember using it the first time and told Hal that I used to watch my dad. His cup didn't spill over into his saucer. He actually poured his coffee from his cup into his saucer to cool it down a little bit so he could eat it or drink it. And so anyway, that's where I did the song the first time, and I used that. I remember it's drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. And our cup here at Liberty Fellowship is overflowing right now, and I hope
your own personal cup is, and that you're drinking from your saucer too, because it's a very special place to be drinking from your saucer. If you know it, sing it along with me. It's good. It'll do you good. Well, I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all His blessings on me, and the mercy He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some tough storms, really. There were times when my faith sure did get a little thin. But you know what? One day, all at once, that old clouds broke and the sun, she started shining in. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I have hoed, 'cause I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflow. And if I should go on living and the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings, 'cause I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help another bear His load. I'll keep drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. My cup has overflowed.
It's a beautiful song, and I know we've all had moments in life when we have drank from the saucer, and how wonderful and how pleasant that it is. And it's great to be back out to God's house tonight, and I was thankful that somebody requested to share that video again of your all's ark trip, because I got to pay attention again and saw some things that I missed out on this morning. Like at first I thought Dwayne was the only one that had an asleep picture, but Jesse had one too. So I picked up on that one the second time as well. But it is good to be out to God's house this morning, and we'll try to finish up what God, or tonight, we'll try to finish up what God laid on our hearts and minds this morning, okay? Acts chapter 9, and we got to verse 2. So we'll be picking up at verse 3 tonight, and got good news when I walked into the door. But before I share that, Ellie went with Nana after church this morning, and today was Addie's birthday, so we went home after church, and Addie always takes a nap on the way home. And as soon as she got up, we took her over to the mall, and we took her over to Build-A-Bear. And they got a special, however old your child is, that's how much the bear costs. So, you know, I'm going as a dad, I'm thinking, man alive, we're getting out here for $2. I'm excited. Addie's only 2 years old. This is going to be a two-buck thing. She's going to be as happy as I'll get out. And, you know, I can't wait. Well, $36 later, we left. And the reason being, the accessories. They've got shirts for these bears. They got shoes for these bears. They got jewelry for these bears. And Addie, you know, Ellie's the bedazzled one. We take Ellie, you know, she gets shorts, shirts for the bear, shoes for the bear, everything for the bear. Little sweet Addie, all she got was one shirt, and it was $36. So when you think you're walking out only spending $2 and you spend $36, that hits a little bit different. Then we went to the food court. And the food court, and this has nothing to do with the message. I'd just like to share a bit of myself and my family with you all, because we're all a family. I just want you all to get to know my crazy family a little bit more. We went to the food court, and me and Lene didn't get anything to eat because it felt like it was about 85 degrees down there. So we went over to Pal's and got Addie a hot dog and French fries. And I told Lene, you know, I'd like something to drink. Well, they got this new tea place in there. They took out the Petros and they replaced it with a tea place, and I'm kind of upset about that because I like Petros really, really good. But Lene went over and got me a tea, and she said, "What kind of tea do you want?" I'd like an orange or a strawberry. Well, she comes back, and I had no idea this place did that, but they make these little bubbles now. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? That you can put inside your teas. Linda gets them and things like that. Well, I took a drink of that, and I got some of them bubbles in my throat, and I thought I was choking. I had no idea that those were flavored bubbles that go inside of that drink. And I told Lene, I said, "I just want a normal sweet tea next time, okay? No bubbles, nothing like that. Just get me a normal sweet tea." But it is good to be back out to God's house tonight. The good news I heard, Rusty shared great news with me when I walked into the door. The Vols were up, what was the score, Rusty? 8-4, and it went final, right? Okay, so they've got a game 3 that's going to be played tomorrow. So I'm definitely excited about that. And I know our Georgia and Alabama and Florida fans are probably not too excited about that at all, but I'm very excited. Right. All right, Acts chapter 9, we're going to pick up here in verse 3. But before we pick up in verse 3, we'll just do a quick overview of what God laid on our hearts this morning. We were talking about how Saul was wreaking havoc on the early church. We talked about how he was breathing out threatenings against the early church. And the reason that he was he was breathing in terrible things. And what you breathe out, you first breathe in. And he was living in the wrong atmosphere. He was breathing in hate, violence, and murder. And then we went into how, as the children of God and lost people, if we can get involved in the church and get involved in a church that is a part of the church, then we're setting ourselves up to be in the right atmosphere and living in a good atmosphere. And then we got down to verse 2 about how Saul was looking for people that were found any of this way. And what that meant was that those people, they were different. They were living a different lifestyle than what Saul was living. And the Bible says in verse 2, and these were the believers of Christ, these were the disciples of Christ. And in verse 2, every person found of this way, Paul had been arresting. And we're going to get into verse 3, but before I get into that, I want to say this too. The first thing we went to this morning was Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, when all the coats were being thrown down at Saul's feet as many of those people and religious leaders were stoning Stephen, murdering him in public because he was taking a stand for Christ. Now, I don't want you to sit there and think that that didn't have any impact on Saul. I'm sure it did. It would be impossible to witness something like that and it not have an impact on your life. But I also want you to think about it like this too. Every house that Saul went to, every church that Saul went to, having the authority of those papers to have those early disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have them arrested, and them early Christians not fighting, going, or not denouncing their faith or anything like that, let's not forget about those people, because in the midst of all that havoc that Saul was wreaking against the church, in the midst of all that hate, in the midst of all that violence, in the midst of all that murder, every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that went willingly because they loved their Savior and they loved their God and they loved being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was a witness to Saul too. You know, sometimes you got to think you got to do something very huge and very dramatic in order to be a witness. Well, sometimes it's just standing for the Lord Jesus Christ is a strong enough witness in itself. So Saul had saw many examples of believers not denouncing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me tonight. I'm in this for the long haul, hallelujah. There ain't no quitting me, and I don't think there's any quitting you tonight. It don't matter how hard the battle gets. It don't matter how difficult the journey gets. You know, the journey got difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ. When God had to turn His back on Him, when He was on the cross, the Bible says that darkness was amongst all the earth, and the reason that God had to turn His back was because sin had been placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was the only one that could bear that sin. Left the splendors of heaven to come into this world. Yeah, the journey got difficult for our Savior, but you know what? He kept on going. He fell beneath the cross, but He kept on going. He got whipped and beaten in Pilate's hall, but He kept on going. He heard His very own, the Jewish people, He heard His very own yell out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him." And they said, "Give us this man that is guilty, but the man that is of no guilt, we want you to kill him, we want you to crucify him." Imagine that. Man, Jesus went through many a rough moment after His baptism when He went to the garden and Satan tempted Him on three occasions, trying to get Him to turn the bread into rock, trying to get Him to cast Himself down and call for the angels to come down and catch Him, taking Him up to a high cliff and saying, "Hey, listen, I will make you ruler over all of this." Jesus was tempted on every hand, but you know what? He kept going. He kept taking another step. If He had to crawl, He crawled. If He had to walk, He walked. He came to be about His Father's business. And bless God tonight, let us all be about our Father's business. Let us all be about God's business tonight. So as we look here in verse 3, this is the journey that Saul is on. And as he journeyed, and I want to specify that again, we are all on a journey. And a journey is not a sprint. Now, I'm fast for 10 yards. After 10 yards, it's over. I'm beat. I'm done. Anybody in here is going to beat me. But for the first 10 yards, I'm pretty good. But then the out-of-shapeness kicks in, all right? But I'm thankful tonight, bless God, we're not in a sprint. We are in a marathon. Living a Christian life is a marathon. Living for Jesus is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It's not get to the finish line as fast as you possibly can. Bless God, all that matters is crossing the finish line. It's not who gets there the fastest or anything like that. And I know we've all got loved ones that have already went home to be with the Lord. They've beat us. They've already crossed that finish line. But I want to tell you something, bless God. When we get there, they're going to have just as much of a celebration for us as they've had for them. Hallelujah. It's not who finishes first, but what matters is finishing. The Bible says, thou hast fought the good fight. Thou hast kept the faith. I love what the Bible says right there. It doesn't say thou hast fought the perfect fight. Why? Because if it depended on us fighting the perfect fight, heaven would be empty tonight. Ain't nobody going to make it. None of us can fight the perfect fight. But I'll tell you right now, bless God, we can fight a mighty good one. And I want to fight a mighty good one while I'm here, and I hope you all do too. So he was journeying, and he came near Damascus. That was the city that he was going to. Speaking of Damascus, has anybody ever rode the Virginia Creeper Trail up in Damascus? Little town up there, anybody ever rode it? I encourage you to do it if you've never done it. If you love outdoors and you love nature, it is absolutely beautiful. We like going in the fall of the year because the leaves change and things like that. I say that we like going, but we've not been in about 10 years. But when we do go, we do like to go about the fall of the year. But you talk about God's beautiful handiwork. Man, there's a beautiful little white church up there. I'd love to be able to go inside it one day. I may break into it next time we go, I don't know. But I'd love to see the inside of that church. But you ever get a chance to do that? Seeing God's beauty. Damascus, Virginia. Okay? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. So Saul's going every intention in mind. I'm going to arrest me some Christians. I'm going to arrest me some believers. I can see he's got the authority from the high priest. He's got all these letters. I can see Saul going down this road and the two other guys that's with him. I can see him holding his head high. I can see him being proud. I can see him being prideful. Here I am, Saul. I've got more authority than the high priest. I've got more authority than anybody. Look how many of these so-called, these believers that I have am responsible for their arrest, or I'm responsible for their murder. So no doubt as Saul's going on this journey, he thinks it's going to be like every other journey he's been on, gone. He's going to show up to town. He's going to arrest some Christians. But bless God, like we said this morning, God is in the story. It's just up when he determines to act. And it's what we do when God finally acts. Well, God's getting ready to act right here in verse 3. And the Bible says, and suddenly, like that, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. So a light from heaven shines all the way around Saul and on Saul on his road to Damascus. And the Bible says that it is suddenly. So this light didn't slowly start coming out of the sky or anything like that. This light wasn't the sunshine. The Bible says that this light came directly from heaven. Now I want to say something. When something comes from heaven, it is pure, it is holy, it is glorified, and it is powerful, bless God. When Jesus came into this world as a little bitty baby, even in that moment in time, He was holy, He was purified, He was righteous, He was right, He was powerful, He was all-knowing in that moment in time. And this light right here that shines all around Saul and on Saul is the most powerful light that he has ever experienced in his life. You can look at the sunshine outside and say, man, the sun is bright today. I don't think the sun, the shine from the sun could even compare to the light that was shining right here. These lights in here, they're bright, they're beautiful. But this light that was shining from heaven right here, I don't think these could even touch the light that was shining down on Saul in this moment. And I love this part right here. The Bible says that the light shined round about him, a light from heaven. It was all around Saul. Now the reason and the thought that God laid on my heart and mind with that was Saul was a very dark man. Saul was a very dark individual. If you're going to be responsible for arresting Christians and having Christians murdered, you've got to be a very dark individual on the inside. But praise God, this light surrounded all around Saul, shined directly on Saul. And what happens to darkness when light comes in? It flees. That's an illustration of the darkness getting ready to flee Saul. God was sending a light down from heaven and shining it all around Saul. Are you not thankful that when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God shined a light down upon you, and all the darkness that was in your heart and all the darkness that was in your soul and all the sins that you had committed, all the dark stuff that none of us like to talk about? Are you not glad that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God shined a light down upon you and all that darkness went away? All that darkness fled, and thank God for it. Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that's one reason me and my family love this church, is because every time Tom teaches, at some point in time, he's going to bring up the blood of Jesus. Every time Dan preaches, at some point in time, he's going to bring up the blood of Jesus. If you look through the New Testament, what did Peter and what did Paul and what did the disciples preach? Praise God, they preached Jesus Christ crucified, they preached Jesus Christ resurrected, and they preached Jesus Christ coming back again. And if that's all I hear from now till the time that Jesus comes back, hallelujah, I love every second of it. Can't get enough of it. I'm thankful that we come to a church tonight that's not tired of the blood. I'm thankful that we come to a church tonight that's not tired of the finished work at Calvary. I'm thankful that we come to a church tonight that's not tired of the resurrected Savior. I'm thankful that we come to a church tonight that's not tired of hearing that Jesus Christ may come back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I'm thankful that we don't get tired of it. I'm thankful that we ain't tired of it. And I'm thankful that we're not going to be tired of it tomorrow, because when tomorrow comes, I'll cling to the cross. When tomorrow comes, I'll cling to the returning Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. When tomorrow comes, I'll still have hope because Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. When tomorrow comes, I'll still have faith that my Nino and my Papa Clyde and my Papa Sonny and many family members and friends that have already went home to be with the Lord, I still have hope that tomorrow, praise God, could be the day that I see Him again. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. Let us never get tired of that. And I love it when people call it old-fashioned. I love it. People think, well, that's, you don't want to call it. People, you know, we live in a day and time when somebody calls something old-fashioned. They mean it as a degrading frame or a degrading phrase. Hallelujah, if it's old-fashioned, it's old-fashioned. I don't care, I love it. I love every second of it, bless God. It's wonderful. Paul was on Damascus Road here, and this light shined on him. A sudden turning point's getting ready to happen in Saul's life. I want to tell you something tonight. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, a sudden turning point happened in your life. Now, you wasn't on this specific road to Damascus. I remember where I was at when I got saved. I was down in my mom and dad's bedroom. I was laying upstairs in bed, teenager. God had been dealing with me for a while. I was 11, 10, 12 years old, somewhere in there. God had been dealing with me for a while. I don't know if it was a month, a year. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I can remember walking down my steps and telling my mom and dad, will you pray with me? I want to get saved. That was my Damascus moment. Suddenly, I became a Christian. I love when God decides to act, He does it suddenly. You look at these people that opened the blind, the people, and I know that Saul's eyes were blinded for 3 days. There was a different purpose for that. But I tell you right now, when Jesus passed by and it was time for somebody to be healed and Jesus was doing the healing, they got healed right then. Somebody that was paralyzed, they didn't have to go to physical therapy for 3 years before they could walk. No, they got up and walked. Somebody that never talked or said a sentence or a word in their life, from the very moment they were born, bless God, when Jesus made them to where they could talk, they had the best vocabulary, hallelujah. They talked like they had been talking their whole life. People that were blind, hadn't seen since birth, when Jesus healed them, bless God, they were healed just like that. We serve a sudden God that when He decides to act, it is sudden. Dan and Tom's talked about this. When Christ returns, it's going to be sudden. I tell you this too, and this is a sad way to look at it. But there's people in hell right now thinking, wow, that was sudden. Never me. Never happened to me. I'm young. Listen, we all have an appointment to die, and we're not in control of that appointment. God is. So you don't want to be on the other end of that suddenness, all right? But they were on the road to Damascus. Now, I love history, so I'm going to get into some history about Damascus Road, okay? This was a trade road because Damascus Road connected many cities. Many wars down through the years were fought over this road because if you had control over Damascus Road, it could lead you to getting other control over other territories. So many wars were fought over this road. Another name for this road, if you look throughout history, was called the King's Highway because kings wanted control of this road. They wanted control of the trade that was on this road. They wanted control of the cities that all this road went to. So there were battles fought over this road, and another name for this road was the King's Highway. And I love the fact that another name for this road is the King's Highway because on this date that we're talking about in God's holy word, the king showed up on his highway in Saul's life. And suddenly there shined right about him a light from heaven, verse 3. And this tells you how powerful that this light is in verse 4. And he fell to the earth. He's not heard the voice of the Lord yet. Jesus hadn't spoke to him yet. Not said a word. The light that shined from heaven knocked him on his feet. Ain't it amazing how God humbles us? Listen, God cannot use a prideful servant. God cannot use a proud servant. But I tell you right now, if you want to be your best potential for the Lord Jesus Christ, you be a humble servant. And God will take you places you never thought you would ever get to go. Hallelujah. God uses humble people, and thank God for it. And that light that shined, that knocked Saul down, it reminded me of some scripture, and I think I wrote it down right here. Let me see if I can find it. I may not have found it. Here it is. It's on the back. Revelation 21:23. To me, this is an illustration of the light that even shined down on Saul in this moment. If you read in Revelation 21 and 23, the Bible says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Do you realize this morning, bless God, when Jesus gets done setting up His earthly kingdom and when we all get into heaven and all this is over with, there ain't going to be no need for a sunshine no more, and there's not even going to be any need for the moon anymore, and there's not even going to be any need for the stars anymore. Why? Because the glory of God is going to be so powerful. And it is now. Not waiting for that moment for it to be powerful. But what we're saying is the devil will be gone. All of his demons will be gone. Sin will be gone. All of that will be over with. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. And the glory of God is going to be so great. The glory of God is going to be so majestic that we're not going to need any of these natural lights that God has placed in our atmosphere. The sun, the moon, the stars. We're not going to need any of that stuff. Why? Because the glory of God is going to shine so bright. And Jesus is going to be the light thereof. That's all the light we're going to need. That's kind of the light I could see shining on Saul right here. A light that knocked him down to the earth. Let me say something about this. Are you not glad? In Revelation 21, 23, for the born-again believers, for the Christians, for the glory of God did lighten, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Are you not thankful as a Christian that you're going to be able to stand in that light? It's not going to knock you to the ground. It's not going to make you blind. But praise God, you're going to be able to stand in the glory of God because His Son is living inside of you. Man, that's powerful. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I love that. So Damascus Road was a sudden turning point for Saul. Psalm 147:15, it talks about the suddenness of God. He sendeth forth His commandment upon earth, His word. I've never heard commandment called word before till I came to church here, and I like it. Thanks, Dan. That's good. His word upon earth, His word runneth very swiftly. When God speaks and God makes it a commandment and it's God's word, it happens suddenly just like that, all right? Thank God for that. So this was a sudden change that Saul was experiencing. The Bible says in verse 4, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, this is Jesus speaking to Saul. Think about that. Saul, and the horrible man that he is, still hears the voice of Jesus. Man alive, are you not thankful that when you were lost, you still heard the voice of Jesus calling you? Man, that's great. That's wonderful. When he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, it's important that we pick this up and that we understand this. When Saul was having these early disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ arrested, at first glance and at first thought, you think, man alive, these people are taking a great persecution because they are getting arrested for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, they were being persecuted, but that wasn't really who the persecution was being aimed towards. The persecution was being aimed towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the day and a time that we live in today, with all the different cultural movements and societal movements that are going on in our world today that are anti-God, yes, we may be the targets of that. Churches may be the targets of that. But the main target of the persecution is not you and I. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. So never take for granted that it's all, woe is me. Man alive, we're having to go through this because we believe in Jesus and we believe in God. No, it's not woe is me. It's woe is them. Woe is them. Because they're not in the same boat as you and I are. Why? Because we've already had our Damascus moment and those people ain't yet. We're okay. Listen, we're a winner either way. If I fall over dead right now, I'm a winner. If I go home and Christ returns in 2 weeks and I get called up to meet the Lord in the air, I'm a winner, praise God. We're a winner either way. These early Christians right here that are being arrested, and some of them eventually being killed, some of them being fed to the lions at the Roman Colosseum, some of them being crucified upside down, some of them going to the guillotine and having their heads chopped off, some of them being tied to a post and having wax placed on them and being burned at the stake. It looked like they were being defeated, but no, just as Stephen was being stoned, he looked up and he saw God and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Man alive, when there's moments when it seems like God is not in the story, when Stephen was being stoned to death, where's God? Nobody saw him but Stephen. That's the only one that needed to see him right then, bless God. Well, Saul's having his conversion moment right here. And he fell to the earth and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus is speaking to Saul. And the Bible says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? So Saul recognizes this as an individual of great authority. I don't know if he recognizes this as the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Tom or Dan might be able to tell you that, but the fact that he says Lord, he does recognize that this is somebody of great authority. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? So what happens after Jesus Christ says this? We get a description of Saul right here. This powerful man, this great man, changes in verse 6, and he trembling and astonished. I don't know if Saul had ever trembled in his life. I don't know if Saul had ever been astonished in his life. But praise God, when he had an encounter with Jesus, he was trembling and he was astonished. Are you not glad that when you have an encounter with Jesus, sometimes you may tremble? When I was lost and I had an encounter with Jesus, I was trembling. I was scared because I was on the road to hell. But praise God, after God came inside my heart and saved me of my sins, I then could be astonished at how wonderful and how great that He is. Amen. Praise God, how thankful that we all can be for that. Tom spoke this morning in Sunday school, there's two different types of fear when it comes to God. There's fear Him as being scared to death of Him. And there's a fear out of respect and out of reverence. Praise God, let us always fear God out of respect and out of reverence as to who He is. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something else. That's something else that's wrong in this society today. There is no fear of God whatsoever. None. None whatsoever. I live up Stony Creek and there's a church up the head of Stony Creek. I can't remember the name of it. It don't matter. But it seems like once every 3 months, there's a car that goes out into their beautiful field that they got and does donuts in it and tears it all to pieces. Don't care one bit. They've caught them on camera and everything. Never can find who it is. Listen, and I was a 2000s, 19, I was born in 89. But I tell you right now, if my mama and daddy, if my mommy and daddy found out that I was doing donuts in a church field or a church parking lot, I wouldn't be able to sit for a month. And I would also look like an Ethiopian because they wouldn't let me eat either, which would cut me straight to the heart. That don't happen no more. It don't. It really don't. That's the day and the time that we're living in. Astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, now think about that for a second. Saul says, Lord, what would you have me to do? So Saul now knows that he's talking to Jesus because it says in verse 5, I am Jesus. So Saul knows that he is talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. So as great as Saul was, as stubborn as Saul was against the church, as stubborn as Saul was against believers, as stubborn as Saul was against Christians, here it is, all Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? It didn't take long for Jesus to convince Saul that Saul was in the wrong. And immediately he says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? This is a side of Saul we've not seen. Humble. Trembling. Astonished. Saul in this moment realizes that he's nobody and nothing. May we always remember that we're nobody and nothing except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to get here to verse 7 and 8 and 9 will be done, okay? And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no men. The men that were journeying with Saul, they heard this voice, but they saw no man. This was specific for Saul. This moment right here, this Damascus Road moment, was specific for Saul. God was meeting, Jesus was meeting his specific needs. The fact that he needed a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's different people here this morning, tonight. We all don't have the same needs. Some of us may have the same needs. I don't know. Your need tonight may be a new job. Your need tonight may be improved finances. Your need tonight may be an improved marriage. Your need tonight may be family members in your family that's lost and you're praying for them. That may be your need tonight. But are you not glad that God is big enough and God is powerful enough and God is awesome enough that He meets all of our specific needs? Sometimes, you know, the answer is no, because God's God and God knows what's best. But God meets every single one of our specific needs. And he was meeting Saul's specific needs here. And Saul arose from the earth, verse 8, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. He was blind. This powerful man is blind. Now, I don't know anything about being blind. I've never been blind, but I do know a blind individual. And you talk about when somebody's blind, cannot depend on themselves for anything, but always dependent on others. Take for granted walking to the kitchen and being able to open the fridge and grab a doctor enough. When you're blind, you can't do that because you don't know what you're grabbing. Take for granted being able to walk through your house without stumbling and falling and tripping over your dog and things like that. And that's just tiny things. Man, Saul was being very, very extremely humbled right here in this moment. He was blind. Saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him in to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat nor drink. So here it was, this great man that was responsible for the death of many Christians, but God showed up because God was always in the story. I want to remind you tonight, if Satan is wreaking havoc on your life as a born-again believer, God is in the story. And there's going to be a Damascus Road moment. I don't know when. I don't know where. But understand and know, when there's a Damascus Road moment for you as a... You know, we get to thinking, well, there's only a Damascus Road moment for the lost. I want to tell you something right now. There's been plenty of times when I've been saved when Satan's wreaked havoc on my life and God arrived on the scene as well. So as a Christian tonight, don't forget, when Satan is wreaking havoc on your life, God is in the story. And there's going to be a sudden change. There's going to be a Damascus Road moment somewhere, as long as you stay in the right atmosphere. And where's that atmosphere at? In a church that's a part of the church near the cross in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Don't forget about men's meet and ladies' meet Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Everybody come out to that. Those are wonderful, fun time. That's something that I'd never been a part of, never got to do or anything like that. And it is a great blessing to do. So if you've not been attending the men's meets or the ladies' meets, I definitely want to encourage you to do that. And don't forget Wednesday night, being Zachariah as well. Don't forget about any of that. And then church services again Sunday morning and Sunday night, okay? Henry, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us, buddy.
Something to them. Lord, continue to bless our pastor.